This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. In Perekei Mishnah Zayin, we discussed to what extent the tanner or the ware oven must be broken for it to be considered halachically broken and therefore tahar. Our Mishnah discusses at what point the kira stove, which has the two holes at the top to accommodate two pots, would have to be broken or split up in order to be considered halachically broken and as a result tahara. So again, the kira stove has two holes at the top for two pots, and so it had a kind of oval shape. The Mishnah rules kira shenechleka le'archa tahara. A kira that was cut in half along its length, such that both the holes on top were split in two. Since this clearly neither piece can function at all as a kira anymore, it is considered a totally broken kira and therefore is tahara. There's no more tumah. The Mishnah says, Ulurachva, but if the kira was split along its width, meaning the cut was made between the holes, tamea. Both pieces remain tamea, because you could technically still use each individual half to cook one pot. Now, the third type of halachic stove that we discuss is the kupach, which has one hole at the top. Sometimes the kupach is used like the kira for cooking, and sometimes it's used like the tanur for baking. The Mishnah discusses one that is used like a kira for cooking. The Mishnah says, kupach shenechlak, if the kupach type of oven was split in two, bein l'orcho, bein l'rochvo, whether along the length or along its width, tahar. Either way, it's tahar. Because since, as mentioned, the kupach has one hole at the top, and so it's basically just a regular circle, that means that no matter how you do the cut, you end up cutting the hole in half. And thus, you end up with something that cannot function at all anymore as a kupach. It can't cook anymore. And therefore, it is tahar, there's no more tumah. The Mishnah continues, as far as chatzar akira, the so-called courtyard of akira. So this refers to akira that included in its design was that it had a base with the rim going around the base, meaning it's all one piece. You have the actual akira piece where you put the pots and the fire below. Part of the kira is also this base at the bottom with the rim going around. It's not entirely clear what its function was, perhaps to put the other pots or next to the kira to also cook. The Mishnah rules that whether this courtyard of the kira is considered halachically part of the kira as far as the tumah rules depends. Mizmanchi gavah shalosh etzbos, if the rim is at least 3 finger breadths high, which is the minimal height for a kira, we then treat the chatzar kira as kind of an adjunct kira. It's like a mini kira that's attached to the larger kira. And thus, not only is it true that if the body of the kira becomes tameh, that this attached base will be tameh as well, but mitama b'magu ba'avir, the base itself could contract tumah, either through direct contact or even if the tumah source enters the airspace of the base. It didn't enter the airspace of the body of the kira, the actual main part where the fire goes. Enter the airspace of this rim going around still. It's considered like a mini kira because it functions along with the main kira and it has that minimal height. The rim has that 3 etzbos minimal height. Therefore, it's able to contract tumah ba'avir. And that is, not only does the rim become tameh, but the whole thing, even the main part of the kira, becomes tameh as well. But p'chusa mikan, if the rim of this courtyard of the kira has a height that's less than 3 finger breadths, then mitama b'maga v'ina mitama b'avir. Although if tumah source directly touched the chatzar kira, that would still make it and the rest of the kira tameh. But if the tumah source merely entered the airspace of the chatzar kira, it would not become tameh. Because since in this case the rim does not meet the minimal height of a kira, we can't consider the rim to be a kind of a mini kira that's attached to the main kira. So if the rim portion is not in any way considered a kira, it's unable to contract tumah ba'avir. The fact that the tumah source entered the airspace does not make it tameh, but again, if the tumah source touched it, then everything does become tameh. Now we speak of the airspace of this rim section of the kira, the chatzar kira. The question is, ketzer misharnosa. How do we determine what is included in the airspace of the Chatzar Akira. Maybe it's limited to the airspace that's below the height of the rim. On the other hand, maybe the height of the main portion of the Kira, which is much taller, maybe that's taken into account. The Mishnah says, here's how we figure out the airspace. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shmuel says, Nosinus ha-shafud milamalon lematon. He places a spit on a slant. He leans that on the top of the main part of the Kira, and then the other end leans on the rim of the Kira. Connect the metama bavir. You imagine that going all the way around. You essentially imagine a line going from the edge of the top of the main part of the Kira down to the edge of the top of the rim, which will be at an angle. You go all the way around, and all the airspace underneath, at any point, you know, a spit that's leaned in that way is included in the avir of the Chatzar Akira. And so, again, that means if the rim is 3 etzposim or more, any tuma source that enters that airspace will cause the whole thing to become tame. But it's clear from the anonymous first opinion of the Mishnah that the whole piece is considered one. The Chatzar Akira is one with the main part of the Kira. The only question is, could we consider the Chatzar Akira as a Kira in its own right? But for sure, since it was made from the beginning, it was manufactured all as one piece, it's halachically all one thing. But the Mishnah presents a dissenting opinion on this. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Eliezer ben Yaakov said that halacha actually is as follows. Nitmes hakira, nitmes hachatzar. I agree that if the main body of the kira becomes tame, then the chatzar akira becomes tame along with it. However, nitmes hachatzar, lo nitmes hakira. If the chatzar akira becomes tame, the kira itself does not become tame. There's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov makes the case that the Chatzar Akira is not exactly considered as a component, you're completely integrated with the actual Kira. Rather, it's this additional, you know, secondary accessory that is added to the main Kira. So since it has that kind of secondary function, its Tumah status follows the Kira's status. So if the Kira becomes Tameh again, yes, even the Chatzar Akira becomes Tameh. But the Kira itself doesn't follow the status of the Chatzar Akira. And so if the Chatzar Akira itself became Tame, the Kira, the actual stove portion, does not become Tame. But the halacha is in accordance with the first opinion.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.